Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another episode of Cracked Interviews Podcast. I am your host, Vicky Duvall. Thanks so much for joining me today. I am so excited about our guest, and I think you are going to just adore her. Not only is she a stellar 10 out of 10 human being, but she has one of the most decorated and impressive collegiate records, I think, in history. while playing at the University of Florida Gators, she clinched the 2011 and 2012 NCAA championship points. She received the Southeastern Conference Player of the Year Award in 2012 and 2013 and became the first player in the 21-year history of the award to receive it three times in her career. She was the first freshman in SEC history to be voted SEC Player of the Year in 2010. And in 2011 and 2012, she won the NCAA Tournament Most Outstanding Player. My God, I need to catch my breath. Oh, she finished her career with an overall record of 117 over 16 in singles and 38-0 in the SEC Conference. Golly, allergic to losing, folks. Lauren Embry, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on the podcast. Wow.
Gosh, thanks for letting me talk you into it.
I'm glad I can be a part of it.
So, I just kind of want to get started with, obviously, after your unbelievable college career, you decided to make the transition into pros. And I think a lot of tennis fans can understand not only is a transition from juniors into pros a really tough one, the collegiate transition is as well. So I just want to get into that journey for you and how you found your transition initially into the professional arena.
Yeah. Like you said, I had a good college career and I was on a great team with great coaches and I was very fortunate to have that support for 4 years. And I think that's a big reason of why individually I did so well, but I also was successful because of the people around me and my teammates and my coaches and the university and all the support that I had for 4 years. And then my dream was always obviously to be a professional tennis player. So I finished my degree and decided to go on tour and moved out to California and traveled. I was fortunate enough to travel with a coach. We had the best time, but it was very challenging and difficult, I think, for me at first, not only coming from college where you have a lot of the support to, like, you know, as a professional tennis player, you do not have that support all the time unless you're financially very well off or you're doing really well. You're lucky enough to travel with a team. So I kind of struggled with that, of finding the love and joy to play for myself again. I had never had a problem competing because I love the competition. I love the training part. But sometimes just finding the love for, you know, to be in the middle of the country somewhere playing a match, just you and maybe two other people watching, and then finding the motivation to get up and do it all over again or lose a tough one and get back out there on the practice course. And I kind of struggled with that. But once I kind of got past that and had a good perspective, I did pretty well, I think, on tour for a couple of years and really enjoyed it. It really helped me grow as a person and travel to a lot of cool places. But yeah, overall, I think it was a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at your page and I saw that you got to your high of 302 in 2015. Like you said, you know, traveling alone is not the funnest thing in the world. Did you ever have anyone with you on the road, or was kind of your career solely you doing it on your own at that point once you decided to go pro?
Yeah. When I first graduated college, I was lucky enough to have someone. Her name is Laura Gordon. She was my coach for about a little under 2 years. And I moved out to California and was training with her, and she traveled with me everywhere. So that helped a lot. She was in her late 20s. She could relate a lot. And it wasn't just me traveling. She helped tremendously with my spirits, my motivation, you know, the support, the positivity that you need out there. So I was lucky enough to have that. But as soon as we kind of split up, I was trying to do it all by myself and travel by myself. And like I said, there's positives and negatives with that. Obviously, it's a struggle when you're in the middle of nowhere by yourself trying to get from place to place. But like I said, I did kind of both. It was a mix. I had some weeks where I traveled with the coach, and then some weeks I was by myself. And I liked both. I honestly liked being by myself and like figuring things out. I think it helps you get a little bit tougher mentally. And, you know, you go through things that you wouldn't normally go through if you had a bunch of people around you or to do things for you. Like I know in college you had that support, which was I was so grateful for. But yeah, most of my success, I think I got in singles to like 230 by the time I was in like maybe 2016, the end of 2015, I'm not sure. But that was with my coach and she really helped me. So I was really fortunate to have that opportunity to have people around me to help me do well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, fact checked here, whatever I was reading was incorrect. Sorry, folks.
I think I got to them in the choose, but I'm not going to doubt you, so.
Oh, no, whatever I was reading, that needs to be canceled. but, yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, I actually did a little bit of volunteer assistant coaching at Florida this year as well. And I think that's one of the things that impressed me the most was kind of the team atmosphere of just, like, you're never really alone. You're obviously playing something, you're playing for something that's bigger than yourself. And I guess for you, I know you're such a hard worker and you're such a dedicated person. What were some of the things that you would tell yourself, like you said, when you're alone and you lost a tough match and you're by yourself and you have to get back out there the next day? I mean, what kind of things would you tell yourself to get through? I know for a lot of people, that's kind of the hardest part of being alone as well.
Right. There's the self-talk. I mean, you spend so much time by yourself, you know? So I think just for a lot of the players going through it now, and something that I wish I did a better job of, I think I did an okay job, but I think if I were to do it all over again, I'd be better at this, is just having a perspective on what it is you're trying to do, and understand that you're a professional athlete, you're going to lose a lot of the time. And as long as you're growing from those losses and learning and figuring things out, and not just, and it's not really a loss, you can always get better. And I think that I focused a lot of the time on in the moment where I should have looked a little bit more at the big picture as far as my wins and losses, and if I played well, if I played poorly, if, you know, how I lost the match, instead of just losing and that being bad and winning being good. Because you can still lose and have a lot of good things to take from it. So a lot of that, I think when I was by myself, I did a pretty good job of maintaining a pretty clear-headed mind about just being grateful kind of in the position I'm in, like understanding that I would never be here if it wasn't for tennis, and it's just one match, and you're essentially just playing a game, as weird as that sounds, but you're out there living your dream, playing a sport. If you lose, you know, you wake up the next day, you're healthy, your family's good, you're in a country you won't be in if it wasn't for tennis. So reminding myself of that, and then also just continuing to keep in contact with, you know, a coach that I'm training with, or family, or friends, people that are there to lift you up kind of when you're not feeling the best after a loss.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an amazing perspective. I think obviously for a lot of young players now, it's hard to not focus on the winning and losing part. I think you're totally spot on with focusing on the process. I mean, especially for you, obviously you had moments in your career, like going 38, was it 38 or 39 and zero, where you didn't lose, like you just did not lose. So I can imagine how that mindset would be a little tricky. I guess as far as like physically, I didn't see too much information about things that like held you back and stuff. How was your career from like a physical standpoint? I know when you decided to stop, I think it was in 2017, was it because of injury, or was it because you just felt like you needed to stop, or?
Yeah, interesting question. I was fortunate enough where I didn't have too many injuries. Right after college, I tore my hip labrum, and in college I had a wrist surgery, and it sidelined me for about 5 months in my sophomore year, and then the other big one I had, a little bit bigger than that, was I tore my hip labrum right after I graduated college, right after my career in college. And right before I went on tour, I just went back to Florida, finished my degree in rehab, and that set me back about 7-8 months. But other than that, I relied a lot on my physicality and being in good shape and, you know, playing long points. And I kind of love that. I still love that. And so I made sure that my body was right. I mean, I treated being a professional tennis player as a job. And my dad always told me, if you do what everybody else does, you're going to be like everyone else. So I woke up a little early, did whatever it was I needed to do, made sure I practiced, recovered, ate, slept, all those things. To really keep my body in check. And then when I stopped, I really didn't stop because of an injury. I mean, I joke how it was kind of a mental injury. Because I was just a little bit, you know, I made a promise to myself, if I'm going to be a professional tennis player, I'm going to give it my all and treat it like a job. And towards the end, I kind of caught myself not doing that. So I really had to have like a serious sit down with myself and see if this is really what I wanted to do, if this was still my dream. And at the end of the day, at 26 or however old I was, I didn't think it was, and I wanted to do other things with my life, and financially it was getting hard. I was living out in California by myself. I was feeling bad having people support me. My parents were great, and I just wanted something different with my life. And so I had that really hard conversation, and it was one of the hardest things I'd done because, like, you know, tennis is your whole life from when you're 4 or 5 years old. You don't know anything else. So essentially starting over and figuring out who I was without tennis was an interesting like concept and time in my life, but I think everything, you know, works out. And as long as you do everything with, you know, 100% and it's what you want to do, then it's all going to be fine. It's all going to work out.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
I think that's amazing perspective, words of wisdom right there. Before I get into where you're at the stage now in your life, I just want to ask a tough question. Obviously, you've had some great moments in your career, and you've battled against girls who have risen to high ranks in the game. Do you ever sit and wonder if that could be you, or... do you ever have moments like that, or is it just kind of in the back of your mind at this point?
I would be lying if I said that I didn't have moments like that, or people don't. Of course, you see your peers do well, and you think, what if I had played an extra year or two? Would I have gotten that, you know, a lucky break here and there? Would I have broken through? I could be top 100. You know, the Grand Slams comes around, and you start to think those things, or at least I did when I first stopped. I think now that I'm a little bit older and it's been some time, I'm okay with it, because that's, like I said, it's their dream, but it really is not mine anymore. And I have different dreams and goals. But yes, I think, yes, when I was going through if I should stop or not, that was one of the main things. It was like, I don't want to feel like I'm quitting myself or giving up. And I, at that moment, I can honestly say I don't think I was, because I put my heart and soul into what I did. And then it was no longer, the dream was no longer really there. And I think it's great to see, you know, even college players come through in the rankings, and, you know, some of my friends are in the top 100, and I think that's unbelievable. And I respect them so much, because I know how hard it is to go out there week in and week out. And it's not all glamorous, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. Sometimes you see a snapshot of what it is, and it's not that. So I really respect everybody who's out there, you know, still grinding, still being successful, keeping it their dream and their passion. And I mean, I think it's awesome, and it's really cool to see.
That's awesome. I mean, I remember, obviously, you were a little bit older than me when we were playing, but I remember seeing you on tour, and like you said, you absolutely were relentless on the court. It was so inspiring even for me to see, even though we weren't really friends at that time, but just someone who has so much heart constantly. But to pivot here and kind of go to where you're at now in your life, obviously you've had a very smooth transition into coaching on the collegiate level naturally with everything you've done in your tennis career. What has the transition been like being a former athlete and baller at UF to now being the assistant coach. Is that kind of weird, or is that just you're just happy to be back?
It's both. I'm so happy to be back at Florida. I had a great transition on the West Coast, worked at Pepperdine for a couple of years, and was so grateful that I was there. I learned a bunch. And then to be able to be back in my alma mater and coach with the coach that I played for and learn from him. I mean, he has 5 national championships under his belt, and he's one of the best in college. So to be on the other side of it and to learn from a career standpoint, I feel so fortunate because I know that opportunity doesn't come a lot. And I make sure that I let Roland and Florida know that a lot, that I am so grateful to be back. Because obviously when I was a player, I didn't think much about it, but definitely crossed my mind, like, that would be really cool. So the fact that it's actually happening is, like you said, kind of a dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, I think the girls would have the same thing to say. Obviously, there's no better person to be out there right now helping them out. Someone so driven, so positive. I want to ask, and I think people might want to know, are you still able to beat them up now on the court when you're hitting with them?
Oh, my gosh. I want to say yes so badly because I hate losing to my players, but some of them get me sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I can hit all day. I love hitting in, like, drills and hitting and, you know, training. And then as soon as the points start, it gets a little rough for me. My movement's not there. My accuracy's not there. If I play, like, a set or two the next day, I'm pretty sore. I mean, I'm still in pretty good shape. But, I mean, you know, playing tennis is a whole different beast. And I don't do that every day. So definitely a grind. I definitely try my best, but sometimes they get me. Can't believe I just admitted that on live podcast, but that's the truth.
Fitness fit is a little different than college fit. Or, sorry, than tennis fit, excuse me.
Fit. Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah, so going on the fitness topic here, I know you had your Instagram page that gained some traction, actually, Low Fit. You guys should check her out.
Low _ fit. Check it out.
Plug.
Follow me.
Yeah, so I guess for lack of a better word, have you always been a fitness freak? Or, I mean, freak is sounds really bad, but, you know, obviously someone very passionate about fit. Very passionate about fitness. Is that something you've always been really dedicated to? Or tell us a bit about that, why you started the page as well.
Yeah, but I have always been into fitness. I wouldn't say I've been as into it as I am now, just because tennis kind of substituted that. I was always making sure I was in good shape and loved training, but I didn't really think twice about, oh, I'm in really good, you know, fitness shape, or I have to be in the best shape. I just was, because of how you train for tennis. And then as soon as I stopped tennis, I was like, kind of freaking out about what I'm going to do for exercise and, you know, what I'm going to enjoy doing, because every, you know, it gets old going to the gym and like running on a treadmill or whatever you choose to do. So I got super into health and nutrition, started educating myself a lot about that, taking classes and learned to be pretty educated about what I was doing in the gym and what I wanted to do and how you gain muscle mass and stay lean and fit and all those things. So I was just like, yeah, maybe I can start a, you know, fitness page just for fun. That's kind of why I did it. I didn't want it to take from my real job. I just wanted to post, you know, some workouts to help people like myself who are once college or professional athletes that wanted to stay, you know, active and in shape but didn't really know how to go about it. So that's essentially why I started it. And then, yeah, it was more just to for fun and just to help young girls who are making that transition as well, because it can be kind of tough mentally as well. So just kind of gained a little bit of traction, but I really just do it for fun, and whoever is on there and they want ideas or workouts, and that's kind of why it's there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of, myself included, a lot of your friends and your peers, we enjoyed the page so much. One thing I absolutely loved was when you posted your food videos as well and your recipes. Obviously, you're someone who is very into not only fitness but health, and I guess the question I have for you is, you've been, I think, on a, correct me if I'm wrong, a paleo and keto journey?
Yeah. I'm not really specific, but yes, I'm more on the fasting journey than anything. I do intermittent fasting pretty regularly, and I eat pretty healthy, paleo, ketogenic, but nothing like super strict. I mean, I feel like I'm just balanced, and whatever makes you feel good. I think there's a certain way to kind of eat, but it's not specific or for everyone. So it's more just a broader natural foods, you know, things like that.
Yeah, healthy. I think that's one thing that people misunderstand. My brother was vegan for a little while when he wanted to lose some weight, and I think people have a lot of opinions about different ways of eating and foods. But I went to, I guess, fun fact for our listeners, I went to Lauren's house. Was it 2 weekends ago? 3 weekends ago?
I think it was 3 now. Yeah, I love when you come visit because you did help out the Gator last spring, right? They loved you, so... The fact that you're back and able to practice with them and give them like a pro ball and be just a light of bundle of joy and light of energy is great for them. And then obviously you stay at my house. So it's like a win-win for me.
It's a win-win. And we get to hang out with Marlon. Lauren has the cutest dog I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, my little puppy he's been asking for you to come back. So you have to make another trip up here.
I need to make my way. So we've been trying to figure out what breed. Right, because we don't know. We messaged some famous people on Instagram and said, your dog looks like mine. What is it?
give me the diagnosis.
We haven't found that out yet. Stay tuned, folks. So at the end of our segments, what we usually do is a little rapid fire segment of just questions that... they're short, obviously feel free to answer as long as you want to, but, I have like 5 or 6 here that I want to poke your brain on. So, my first rapid fire question, what was the best moment of your college career?
The 2011, 2012 back-to-back national championship, the final matches clinching for the team and just having that moment to celebrate with the whole university. And like you said, playing for something bigger than yourself is a pretty special experience that not everybody gets to have. So I'm very grateful that we were in the opportunity to do that. So that for sure.
That's amazing. And what was your favorite moment in your professional career?
I wouldn't say this was a result. I think it was just my first year out there after hip surgery. I went to Europe and traveled for 6 weeks with my coach, and we went to a bunch of 15, 25Ks and just figured it out week by week. We didn't have any places to stay. We didn't really plan much. We just went, and that was a good learning and growing experience for me. So that for sure.
Nice. What is your favorite place you've been to? God, I know this is probably a tough one to answer.
Favorite place I've been to? Okay, give me 10 seconds. I would say Melbourne, Australia. It's a pretty awesome place. Yeah. I would say
that. Can't go wrong with Melbourne. Have you been to Sydney?
I have, and I really enjoyed that too. I just, for some reason, Melbourne reminded me more of like Los Angeles, where I was living at the time. And so I liked that a little bit better. But Sydney's beautiful too.
Yeah, when I went to Melbourne and Sydney, I didn't realize that there was a little bit of a rivalry between the cities. When we went to Melbourne, people were like, oh, where did you guys just come from? And my mom and I said, Sydney, we loved it so much. And they'd say, oh, better than Melbourne? And we'd be like, yeah. And they're like, oh, no, get out of here.
Oh, God, okay. Well,
yeah.
I like both. Let's just say that. I don't want to get any enemies.
Yeah, I've probably given myself a few just now. So for our listeners, Lauren is a avid book reader, and I think pretty impressive collection of material that she reads, motivational stuff, educational stuff. What book are you currently reading right now?
Good question, because my favorite book is called Beyond Training, and it's by Ben Greenfield. And it's a mix of health, nutrition, the way to train, being a professional athlete. It's about autoimmune disease, what vitamins you should take. I mean, it has literally everything. It's probably 400. I'm looking at it now. It's 400 pages, but I'm going through it so quickly. But that's for sure my favorite book. A lot of his books are. Ben Greenfield, get on it.
I gotta check him out. Yeah, I'm a very slow reader, so I tend to stay away from books because it takes me an hour to read a page. But I will get on it because you have said so now.
Very informative.
What is your favorite shot?
Shot? Like tennis shot?
Favorite tennis shot, yeah.
Backhand, or I liked my backhand down the line. I still like it. It's just not as accurate, but it just came kind of natural for me, and that was just one that I won a lot of points doing. So I'm going to go with that.
I really relate to that. We love the backhand down the line.
We love a good backhand, yeah.
Describe your perfect day off.
Coffee person and very early morning riser. So I would wake up, now that I have a dog, take Marlin for a run, come back, have a nice cup of coffee. Probably go somewhere and read a book. Wow, I sound so boring and old. When I was living in LA, I would go on hikes. Now I go on like a trail run or something, work out at some point. I like to be active. So my day off is kind of, I can't really sit and do nothing. It's more just finding things to do. Probably meal prep, go to Whole Foods, go grocery shopping, things like that. But see some friends. But yeah, nothing too sedentary and nothing too crazy. But I like to keep it moving and to be active and to be outside.
Yeah, and anything with food, I mean, sign us up, huh? Gosh.
I'll cook, I'll eat, I'll do it all.
Oh, I didn't even have this one written down, but what's your favorite thing to cook now that you've said that?
Favorite thing to cook? Tacos. I'm a big taco, like, I really like Mexican food, so I make a health conscious, like, I buy these siete tortillas and then ground up chicken, turkey, guac, make like a, you know, salsa, veggie, put it all in a taco, avocado, eat it. So good. Simple and so good. And nutritious.
Last question. Has this been your favorite interview so far? I'm kidding, Dennis.
You're so great at this. You should do this, like, I wouldn't say full-time because you're also a badass tennis player, but you should really look into this because you really are killing it, Vicky.
Oh, my gosh. If you could see me right now, my shirt is absolutely soaked.
Well, you wouldn't be able to tell, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad there's no video on this. Thank you. With that, thank you so much, Lauren, for joining me today. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Thank you to our Cracked fans for tuning in. Lauren, you were an absolute treat. You really were.
Thank you, and good luck with the tour, and come up to Gainesville whenever you want, and good luck with podcasting. You're so great. Thanks so much for thinking of me.
Thank you. All right, we'll see. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.